Psalm 119, verses 30 through 32. And I want you to just hold that passage. But I want you to understand that the new year is a time we make resolutions. Having reflected on last year and the years past, knowing that God has so graciously allowed us to see this brand new year. The younger you are, this opportunity may not have as much meaning to those of us who are older. January 1 becomes a time when we seek to make a fresh start. We make resolutions. What is a resolution? A resolution is a fixed purpose, a fixed determination, something causing a constant pursuit. The most common resolutions are losing weight, eating healthier, managing stress, getting out of debt, finding a mate, get a better job, spend more time with family. I got all of those off of the internet. The one that I hope is somewhere in the top 10 is the increasing of spiritual relationships with the Lord. In my daily reading, I came across a passage in Psalm 119, verse 30 through 32. And I saw this passage as a resolution of the psalmist. He made it known that he had chosen the way of truth and that God's judgments he had laid before him. He says in verse 32, I have stuck, that's a resolution, unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. And then 32, he says, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. I want to use a subject, the resolution of resolutions. The resolution of resolutions. As I read those verses, I said, what a wonderful New Year's resolution. New Year resolution for all the people of God. I realized as I studied the text that any resolution that one makes can be enhanced, can be made more profitable if one were to take this resolution that the psalmist makes and let it be the foundation of one's life, and every other resolution that you make is within your reach. He says, when thou shalt enlarge my heart. This is what we all want, and that is an enlargement of blessings, an enlargement of understanding. I know many of us want wealth, want some of the nicer things in life, but I'm telling you that the psalmist understood that when you give me understanding, truly my life has been enlarged. Anyone who makes these resolutions, I guarantee you that 2015 will be a better year, a year like you've never experienced before if you have not made this kind of commitment. When you look at our lesson, verse 30, I have chosen the way of truth. When he says that I have chosen the way of truth, way. When I looked at that word in the Hebrew, it talked about a course. It talked about a road. It talked about a path. He makes it known, I have chosen the course of truth. I have chosen the road to truth. I have chosen the path to truth. In other words, he recognizes that there is a particular course that he has chosen. And I think about course, and immediately my mind went to sports. Football is played on a field. Baseball is played on a field. Basketball is played on a court. And when you talk about a course, or you talk about the place, or you just use the analogy of football and basketball and even baseball, here's what I know about those sports. They have a beginning time, and they have an ending time. But they always have to be played on a particular field, on a particular designated place. God has given us the ability to choose. We all have a course in life. In other words, life to us has a beginning, and it surely has an ending. When you look at the psalmist in Psalm 90 and verse 10, he said, the days of our years, watch him, the days of our years are 70 years and 10, that's 70. And he says, if by reason of strength they be 80, that's 80, yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Every one of us entering into life have entered into life, and we have a beginning and we have an ending. God says that normally that beginning and that ending is about 80 years. So when you talk about a lifespan, you're talking about a lifespan of the best being 80 years. But here's what I know about that. Is that everybody does not see 80 years. There are some people who see more than 80 years. There are some people, when you look at the spectrum of God's timetable for life, there are some who begin and end very quickly. There are some at 30. There are some at 40. There are some at 50. There are some at 60. There are some at 70. In other words, you and I really, as we take on this thing called life, we have no idea on the spectrum where our ending really comes. We only know what God has really promised us. He said that if by reason of strength, you may be able to make it to 80. So with life, with all of its contingencies, in other words, you don't know what tomorrow will bring. You know, when I think about it, I think in terms of people who at various stages of life experience different illnesses and different circumstances that come into the family. And I think about those individuals who were flying from Indonesia. Those individuals, I do not believe that it was God's plan. It's just that life is is filled with so many contingencies that you just don't know. You start out on, you leave your house and you get on the highway and you don't know whether you're going to make it to your job or not. You just don't know. I mean, God has blessed us to see 2015, but how many of us will make it through 2015? We have no idea. So therefore, you need to make this resolution. Choose the right course. Choose the right path. Choose the path of truth. Now, I know we want a lot of things tonight, but I'm asking you to be a child of God and choose for yourself. Make this your resolution that I'm going to choose the course, the pathway, the road of truth. And when I looked at truth, truth simply meant firmness. Truth meant fidelity. Truth meant steadiness. Truth meant stability, faithfulness. The reason the psalmist made this resolution is because he doesn't know what life is going to present to him. So therefore, if I choose to live my life and I choose the way, the course on which I must track my life and operate my life, let me choose it on God's path of truth. Because if I do that, I am convinced that whatever happens, my understanding will be enlarged and I will have good and perfect ability to handle whatever comes. That's because I'm in the course way of truth. Jeremiah said to us in the 16th verse, stand in the ways and see. He said, I want you to ask for the old path. Stand in the ways of seeing. Ask for the old path. And watch him. He said, wherein is that good way? Life gives us so many choices. And you better be glad that you have a choice. Because dogs don't have choices. Cats don't have choices. Horses don't have choices. You have the ability to make a choice. God will not force you. He will not pressure you. He says, use your ability to choose and choose this path. Choose truth. Choose stability. Choose firmness. He said, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man. Proverbs 14, 12. The end thereof are the ways of death. He said, if you don't choose truth, you'll choose a way and you'll think that it's the right way, but I guarantee you, it's a way of death, it's not a way of righteousness. Jeremiah said it again. He said, oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It's not in a man that walketh to direct his own steps. You cannot go out here in life and just say, any road will do. You got to make a choice. And the psalmist says, my resolution is that I'm going to choose truth. I'm going to choose the word of God. I'm going to choose what God has said. And if I make that choice, then I feel very strongly. Jesus comes on the scene and he says, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And he said, many there be which will go in thereat, but straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth to life. Few there be that find it. If I choose truth, the Bible says, truth endureth to all generations. You'll never lose by making truth, the way of truth, a resolution. Number two, he says that I have laid, he said, thy judgments have I laid before me. Now, this was interesting. When I looked at judgment, judgment took me to the courtroom where the judge sets forth those things that are legally binding.
It's almost as though when the judge gives a ruling from the bench, it's binding. But God has judgments. And from heaven, God has given judgments. And here's what the psalmist is saying. The psalmist said, the judgments of God, those things that God has legislated from his throne in heaven, that God has already made a decision about. He said, those I have laid. I made them my foundation. Listen to me. I want to give you some judgments so you can choose to follow his judgments. Go to Genesis 2. I need you men up there to help me. Genesis 2. And I want verse number 17. Genesis 2 and verse number 17. I want to show you this. I want you to be able to pick out his judgments. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. Now that's a commandment. Are you with me? But watch the judgment. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt what? Now that's a judgment. Not only does God give commandments, but God gives us judgments as well. Go to Exodus 20 and verse number 12. It won't take me long. I'm almost through. Exodus 20 and verse number 12. Watch this now. Here's the commandment. Honor thy father and thy mother. Now watch the judgment. That thy day may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth. Whenever God talks to us, he gives us commandments. But he also gives us judgments. And the psalmist said, what I have made up in my mind is that whatever God has given as a judgment, I'm going to live on it. I'm going to let it serve as my foundation. Let me give you another one. Go with me to Galatians 6 and verse number 7. Galatians 6 and verse number 7. I want to show you judgments, because whenever God gives a judgment, I'm guaranteeing you that it's legally binding. It's not going to ever be reversed. Here he says, be not deceived. Watch his reason that you ought not be deceived. Here's his judgment. God is not mocked. You'll never make a fool out of God. Watch his judgment. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap. He didn't command you anything. That's not a commandment. That's a judgment. Now all I want you to understand is that the judgment is that you reap what you sow. Now go on out there and act like I haven't given you a judgment. Amen, walks in light. Watch verse number 8. For he that what? Soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap what? Corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. In other words, that's a judgment. Give you another one. Go with me now to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And I want verse number 6. Judgments. Oh Lord God, help me. Help me to know the difference between your commandments and your judgment. God, help me to be able to know when you tell me what to do. And then when you make it known, they say, what is the judgment on what I've done? Now watch this judgment. He's not commanding you anything. He's giving you a judgment. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Judgment. Verse number 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we carry nothing out. Judgment. In other words, it's not going to change. You brought nothing in, and you're certainly not going to take anything out. Watch verse number 8. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. In other words, he says, listen to me. When you have food and you have raiment, you need to learn to be content. And then drop down to verse number 10. I got to hurry now because my time is getting away. For the love of money is the root of all evil. In other words, that's a judgment, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. That's God's judgment. God, help me to understand, to choose the way of truth. Help me to choose the way of firmness. Help me to choose the way of stability. Help me to choose the way of faithfulness. God, help me not to lean on my own understanding, but in all of your ways, let me acknowledge you and put my trust in you and your truth. Walk in truth, because your truth endureth to all generations. Help me to know the difference between truth and judgment. And when you give a judgment, let me put my life on your judgments and live according to your judgments. And then the last point is stick to his testimony. Watch him in verse number 30. In verse number 31, he says, I have stuck under thy testimonies, O Lord, put me not to shame. Well, when I look at testimony, testimony simply meant a witness. Testimony simply meant some things that God gave that would serve as a witness to his wonderful works. I'm going to say that again because you can't miss this. When there is a testimony, it always involves something that God has already done. It always serves as a witness to who God is and what God has already established and what God has done. But not only is the testimony involving the idea of something that God has already done, but it also serves as a witness. It's a witness. It's that which will speak on his behalf. God in his word gives us truth. God in his word gives us judgments. But God also has given us testimonies. In the new year, I want to make sure that I'm making a commitment and a resolution to follow his truth, making a commitment to follow his judgments. Well, Brother Gibbs, help me to understand some of his testimonies. Go with me now. Exodus 16 and verse number 34. Exodus 16 and verse number 34. I want to show you. Now watch this. As the Lord commanded Moses, watch this. So Aaron laid it up. Go back to verse number 32. And then let's come on down. And Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded. Fill an omer of it to be kept for your generations. That's when he was raining down bread from heaven. And they didn't have to go out and work for it. All they had to do was just go out and pick it up. And every day they had manna and they had food. But God wants a testimony. God said, what I need you to do, Moses, he said, I want you to fill an omer of it to be kept for your generation. God says, I need a witness. I need a testimony, not for just this generation, but I need it for a future generation. Because, you see, I have done it for you, but I may not do it for them. But the mere fact that I did it for you is already a testimony. It's already a witness that I'm able and I can do whatever I want to do. Now watch this now, that they may see the bread. That's a witness, that they may see the bread wherewith I have fed you in the wilderness. When I brought you forth from the land of Egypt. Now verse number 33. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a pot, put an omer full of manna therein, lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generation. Watch verse number 34. And the Lord commanded Moses. So Aaron laid it up before. Watch the word. The testimony to be kept. Now, make a long story short. I proved it with the manna. Are you with me? I showed you that the mere fact that God told Moses that I'm feeding you, but they don't need to forget what I've done for them. And I need you to put up a memorial. I need you to put up a testimony. I need you to put up a witness that I've done what I've done. So the testimony, when you read through the scripture, you'll find that what God is doing, God had the Ark of the Covenant. It was the Ark of the Covenant. And in the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Covenant that had the cherubims on top where God dwelt, God made sure that in that Ark, it was the Ark of Testimony, simply meaning that God wanted in that Ark of the Covenant three things. Number one, I want some of that manna that I fed them with. Number two, I want you to put Aaron's rod, the rod that he used to open up the Red Sea, the rod that he used to bring the locusts, the rod that he used to bring the flies, the rod that he used. I need you to take that rod and I need you to put it in the Ark of the Covenant. And they tell me that when they put it in there, that rod began to bud. Am I right about it? That's witness number two. Then God took tables of stone and wrote with his own finger the Ten Commandments. God said, these are my testimonies. And God said, I need you to put them in the Ark of the Covenant. In other words, I got to have somebody to remember that I called you as my people. And every time they see the Ark of the Covenant coming, they will know that God fed them from heaven. God opened up Red Seas and God healed them. Am I right about it? God wanted them to know that the Ark of the Covenant would serve as a witness, that it would serve as a testimony, that you're my people and I'm your God and you have no business out there with those idol gods. God said, I need a witness. So everywhere they went, they had to carry the Ark of the Covenant. And when they looked on it, they saw it was a witness. Well, I thought about the New Testament. And I thought about God has some witnesses, even in the New Testament. Every Sunday morning when we come to the house of God, God tells us to sit around his table. And when you get around the table, I got bread and I have the wine. And I want the wine to represent my blood. And I want the bread to represent my body. In other words, what I've done for you, I don't ever want you to forget it. Every Sunday morning, I need a witness of how I died for you and how I was raised up from the dead from you. Every Sunday morning, then I got to thinking. I said, I believe God has another witness. Well, Brother Gibbs, can you find it? Well, I think I can. Over there in Hebrews 10 and verse number 25, the Bible said, not forsaking the assembly of yourself together as a man of some is, but exhorting one another, as you see the day approaching. I asked myself, are they gone? What is that day? And I said it had to be the first day of the week. So when I look and I see God with a testimony, God says, I got a day that's my day. It's a day that I did something for you. It's the day that I raised up my son from the tomb and I've set him and made him to have the glory and the power over all because I raised him from the dead. So every Sunday morning, God has a day. When you see the first day approaching, you ought to cling to that testimony. When you get in the worship service, when you have the Lord's Supper, you ought to make sure that you remember the testimony of what Jesus has done for you. God has given testimonies even in your own life. If you just go back and look over the years, something happened in your life that you know that nobody but God could have done it. You ought to set it aside as a testimony. God, I know you're with me. I've got news for you. As I keep on looking, I look and I see that God wants to put some more testimonies before mankind. When I look up in the sky, I see the sun, and the sun is a testimony that God is faithful, that God is firm, that God does not change. Am I right about it? When I look and I look at the moon is a testimony that God does not change. God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. If I gotta choose a way that I'm gonna live my life, let me choose it based on his testimony. Let me choose it based on his judgment. Let me choose it based on his truth. Ain't going nowhere. I done sure enough got happy now because God is right. God is right. Listen to me. God wants us to run to his commandment. Run to his commandment. Run to his commandment. Run to to his commandment. You ought to get in a hurry. 2015, run to the house of God. Run to the word of God. Run the Bible class. Run. Am I right about it? You ought to get in a hurry. Oh, that's all right. That's enough preaching right now. Am I looking all right? All right, all right. Oh, I need to quit. You're not a run, man. You ought to run. Now watch these young people. Now don't y'all miss me, young people. Over the holidays, I received for Christmas a speaker, Bluetooth speaker, which meant that I could remotely play. Well, it was new to me. And I was trying to choose some songs that I could remotely, you know, play from a speaker. On the internet, they had certain genres and certain artists that the young people listen to. So that day I said, I'm just going to listen. Let me see what these young people are listening to. I took out a tablet. And I wrote the name of that one down and the song that he was singing. I wrote the name of that young lady and the song she was singing. I filled up a whole page. And I had to go to another page. And the stuff that I heard I thought about my grandchildren. I say, are they listening to this? I say, help me, Lord. Are they listening to this? Are they caught up in all of this stuff? I mean, they leave nothing to the imagination. And I said to myself, my God, how can they make it? And I say to my grandchildren, I said, all you young people, y'all need to choose truth. God's judgment, God's testimony. And I guarantee you that you'll live. And you'll make something out of your life. But you keep listening to that junk. Excuse me. Keep listening to that junk. And you ain't going to make it. And then what I don't understand is the only reason you listen to it, the only reason they got you hooked on that stuff is because they want you to buy their music, buy their paraphernalia, and we tattooing ourselves with it. Now get in trouble. Jay-Z not coming to help you. Beyonce not going to come help you. Jay-Z and Beyonce can't even help keep their own marriage together. I'm telling you, the only way you keep your marriage together is on truth. I know I need to quit. Now, I don't know what you young folk listen to, but I'm going to tell you this. Y'all need to start listening to some of these church hymns. Some of you parents need to get in your houses and not wait till they come to the service. Get them around the table somewhere in your living room and sing the songs of Zion. Now, I don't know what's going on, but I do know this. No, I do know what's going on. The devil is trying to take our young folk. Christmas come, they got all of these games. And I'm almost through. I was sitting down with one of my grandsons. I'm not going to tell you which one. And he showed me his new game. And here's what was happening. He could control one of the person's characters. Thank you. And the other one was at the mercy of the one that he was controlling. And he would, bam, bam. I said, can he fight back? He said, no, you got to have other stick in order for him to fight back. He knocked him in the water. And the way the game is fixed, you come back up out the water. I mean, that's automatic. And the reason it's automatic is because they want you to keep on doing what you're doing. Bam. Every time he come up, bam. I say, why are you hitting him? He said, because it's fun. I said, my God. Even the games that they listen to, the games they play, we got a generation in trouble. And some of us parents are not even listening and going to see what these young people are listening to. I'm telling you, 2015, you build on truth. You build on the judgments of God. And every testimony that God gives you, you cling to it. You cling to it. And then run. Run to the house of God. Run to his worship. Run to his fellowship. And I guarantee you, you do that, and at the end of 2015, you'll look back and you'll say, my God, what God has done for me. God is a good God. So I'm asking you, this is a resolution of resolutions. Make this one your resolution, and I guarantee you that 2015, I don't care what comes, because in the course of life, you don't know. You may not make it through the end of 2015. I may not make it. But here's what I want. Here's my testimony. That when I do take my last breath, I want somebody to be able to stand over me and say, here's a man who did the very best he could in order to make life what it ought to be. I mean, that's just what we got to do. I don't know where death is. You don't either. But I guarantee you that if you choose the way of God, he'll enlarge your understanding. He'll make you all right. God bless you. Somebody needs to come to God. Somebody needs to make this their resolution. Make Jesus your resolution. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man must see the Father except to come by him. Jesus has come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. You need Jesus in your life. He is the truth of God. He is the testimony of God. He is the judgment of God. He is the truth. God bless you to come to him. You come by hearing the word, believing it with all of your heart, repenting of your sin, confessing Christ to be the Son of God, buried with him in the water, grave of baptism, for the remission of sin. Isn't it good that God will forgive you of your sin, that God will give you a fresh start? That's what the new year is about. It's a fresh start. Baptism is that way. You get a brand new start on life. He erases your past, and he gives you a brand new start, and then he gives you the Holy Spirit to help you. Somebody ought to start off the new year with the Lord. Will you come to him? Come right now. While together we stand and sing, will you come?
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? You washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you fully trusting in his grace? This hour you washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Spotless are they white.